Greetings in the name of Christ Jesus. I would invite you to turn to 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, I would like to read two verses where we are going to get our title and our theme for the message this morning prior to our communion service. While you're turning there, I'm curious, and I wouldn't mind a response, just raise your hand. How many of you have given blood? I'd like to see your hands. That's quite a few. Why? Because you enjoy the needle? I got another question. How many of you have tried to give blood and failed? Maybe you had a cold or were rejected or tried and just went out? I have some friends. I thought I would be very much of the minority. It was probably in the first year or second year of our marriage. I had a brother-in-law that had a relative that needed blood desperately. And I guess, I don't know if it changed now, but back in the day, it was more common to give blood for an individual. And then, you know, you gave blood and certain person received it, or at least got credit for it. So I was kind of nervous about this, but I said, I'll give it a try. I remember my father would give blood occasionally, and I remember him telling the story of after giving blood one time, he was driving home and got weak and had to pull over. Oh, I remember that. So I remember, you know, put your arm out, and I don't know about you, but that needle, I don't care how gentle it is or how good the nurse is, I don't like that needle. And I survived the needle, and this was in process, and I didn't know how this was going to go. And I probably made a mistake of, you know, glancing at this the container that was capturing the blood. Halfway through, my light started going out, and I said to the nurse, "I'm starting to faint." And she said, "Come on, you didn't even give enough of blood to keep a mouse alive." Verbatim. I didn't appreciate that, to say the least. And then my lights did go out. And then she finally, I guess, she did what I wanted her to do before, is pull the needle out, and this isn't working. And then whatever it took to turn my lights back on, and finally she apologized. She said, "I'm sorry." But then she said, "I did that on purpose. Because I figured out if you get somebody mad, there's a little bit of an adrenaline rush that they can survive that." But it didn't work for me. Those of you that have given blood, I want to bless you. I'm assuming there's at least two sacrifices, maybe three. To carve out a slice of time to go give blood is commendable. The needle, that's definitely a sacrifice. Some of you maybe even had some effects, you know, just a little bit of... Some can give blood and hardly blink an eye, and that's great. You know, I look back on my experience, and that was... It's hardly a... Not even a good introduction. It really isn't. When you talk about giving blood, giving life, giving blood, the price that Jesus Christ paid, it's impossible to draw an analogy. There's no fair comparison. There's no way we can wrap our minds around it. We can only imagine. But I want to say this. There are many people alive today, some in this room, that would not be here. They would not be here if someone did not give blood. Next time you give blood, think about, make that connect. And the same way, there wouldn't be one spiritually alive person, not one, had the Lord Jesus Christ not given blood. No one would be spiritually alive because he gave his blood. We are spiritually alive, and this morning I just want to share a meditation just to help us remember and appreciate it. And I'm going to draw some analogies. The title comes from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. And I'd like to draw some comparisons this morning in the precious blood of Christ and also the wonder of natural blood. So join me as I read the two verses in First Peter chapter 1, 18 and 19. It says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." I'm going to stop there for the sake of time. I know I'm stopping in the middle of a sentence and a flow of thought. But what I really want to highlight this morning is the precious blood of Christ. Precious. I don't know what you deem precious in life. But if something's precious to you, it demands something of you. You're willing to make an investment. It's precious. And the title this morning is the precious, precious blood of Jesus Christ. And you really need to go into a temple in Asia and see some of the silver and gold that, or at least objects of worship, to, I believe, get the comparison. There's nothing to do with corruptible things as silver and gold. And some of those temples I have went into, and some of you have went into as well, and just marveled. And you saw devotion. But there's not one person that's redeemed with a corruptible thing. But the only redemption comes from the precious blood of Christ. And what I'd like to do, just to, don't try to turn here, turn to these. If you want to, you can follow along. I'm just going to tell you 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, about nine blessings that you have received because Jesus shed his precious blood. About nine blessings that you received and that you live with. And sometimes we forget. Number one, from the text, redemption. That simply means bought back. You're redeemed. You're bought back to God because of the blood. Secondly, in Romans it says you're justified freely by his grace through the redemption in Christ, whom God set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood. So in that verse you have reconciliation and justification. So you're bought back to, and then justification means you're declared as if you did not sin one time. That's incredible that you can have that kind of spiritual bank account. A spiritual bank account that says you didn't sin one time. Why? Because of the blood. The blood of Jesus has not only bought you back, but has put you into that state, standing, that you never sinned one time. That's beyond my comprehension. Another blessing that you receive is cleansing. And I believe that is continual cleansing. Yes, initial cleansing and continual cleansing. And 1 John says, if you walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. So there is a condition there. The condition is walking in the light. And that's simply no secrets. A brother just told me, I said, how's it going? He said, life is great. I am living without one secret in my life. Well, that's an interesting response to how are you doing? I like that. Walking in the light. There's no secrets. Walking in the light as he is in the light. And then there is a, it's not a command, it's a response. You will have fellowship one with another. That word is koinonia, the deepest intimate fellowship with other people. That's going to happen if there's no secrets. And you walk in the light, you're going to have beautiful fellowship. And then the promise is that the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse and cleanse and cleanse and cleanse and cleanse. And on Monday, if you make an ignorant mistake and it's a sin, you're cleansed immediately. And Tuesday the same way. That cleansing just happens. It's a lifestyle of being clean and staying clean. I like it. That's a promise because of the blood. The blood of Jesus cleanses you. Another blessing is sanctification. And the verse is Hebrews 13:12. Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his blood. And I know I'm grabbing a verse in its context, and I don't have time to give you the context. It's beautiful in Hebrews 13. But we're set apart. We are set apart for God, and Jesus did that because he shed his blood. Otherwise, we could not be a set apart people. So we're redeemed, we're reconciled, we're justified, we're cleansed, we're sanctified. Hebrews says, by the blood of Jesus, we have a purged conscience. So because of the blood of Jesus, we can live clear and clean. Oh, some of us look back and we hate what's behind. But you know what? We do not carry the guilt. And it's because of the blood of Jesus. We have a purged conscience. And it's only the blood of Jesus that can give us a lifestyle like that. A clear conscience. Praise his name. Now, you have to be somewhat familiar with the Old Testament for the next one. You know, in the Old Testament, you have the outer court, the inner court, and the inside. And then finally, you get to the Holy of Holies, where one man went once a year. And not without blood. Not without blood. And he would go in there. There's some interesting legends and stories about all of that, and I don't know if it can all be documented true, but it's a fact that once a year, the high priest would go in there, not without blood, and it says in Hebrews that brothers, have boldness, that means confidence, to go in to that holy place and just dwell there, stay there, live there, camp there, live. If the Old Testament folks could see us with that kind of a promise and that boldness and confidence, not in ourselves at all, but in the blood of Jesus, I don't know what they would do. The Bible says that, or Jesus said himself, that if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you'll have eternal life. And that's not if you take communion. That means if you internalize, bring it into the very, in other words, if you have the transfusion that he has to offer with his blood by faith, you have eternal life. The Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. We have an enemy, but we have overcoming power by the blood of the Lamb. Because Jesus shed his blood, we can be overcomers. And then finally, in Revelation, there's several places where it talks about the incredible chorus that would join in worship, and they would always include, by thy blood. That's in heaven. So we're going to go into heaven saying, it's by your blood, by your blood. Now, that was just a real quick summary of a book, and I'm notorious for buying books and never reading them. This one still has an EC sticker on, so I'm going to save it. It's kind of precious to me. 1350 EC, that means I bought it in Grenada, Eastern Caribbean currency. Andrew Murray wrote a book called The Power of the Blood. All I did in that short introduction is give you the summary of every chapter. And if you want more on that, just get this wonderful book. And he so beautifully expounds on every one of those points and gives you about three more points under that. The blood, is it precious to you? My prayer is that it would just become more precious this morning corporately. Back to giving blood. Dr. Paul Brand, some of you might ring a bell with some of you. He spent a lot of his time as a missionary doctor in India. If you have a good memory, we talked about his book several years ago on the gift of pain. Same author, Dr. Paul Brand. He gives a testimony in another book titled In His Image. And he gives his testimony about apprehensions of entering the medical field. And the reason he was very apprehensive about entering the medical field, because he grew up kind of helping his dad, who didn't, I don't think he had a medical degree, but he would often help. When you're in third world countries, sometimes you're forced to be in more attached or closer to practicing medicine than you want to. But anyway, he watched his dad several times draining abscesses. And he talks about how the ugly blood and the pus and all that would come out of, and he had to stand there and hold something, and he had to help his dad. And he didn't like that. So the memories of that kind of gave him a lot of apprehensions to entering medicine. But there was one time when he was taking some studies in the medical field that a woman was rushed into the clinic or hospital where he was helping, and she appeared lifeless. And his job was, can you get a pulse? And he tried to get the pulse, and he couldn't get a pulse. And they quickly said, give us some blood. And they got a unit of blood and did the transfusion. And during the first transfusion, he said, I got a pulse. And then a little bit of pink appeared in her cheek or somewhere in her face. And the first unit went in, second unit. And during the second unit of blood, the same woman that appeared lifeless, she opened her eyes. And she said, give me a drink. Oh, now if you're getting spiritual applications to that, that's exactly how it works. The precious blood of Christ opens our eyes, and we get a thirst. We're hungry and thirsty for God. And he said, at that moment, he crossed the line in his mind, and he said, I will enter this field because I saw firsthand what it can do. And I thought, wow, if a medical doctor can say that, how much more should we, representatives of the blood of Jesus, be so passionate and excited about sharing the power that's in the blood of Christ? Well, that's a story that is recorded in a book, but it gets closer home when it's in your very own family. And when you have somebody in your family that would not be here unless there was blood right there ready to go. When the hemoglobin count is supposed to be at 12 and it drops below 5, for those of you that means anything, and the nurse says she could not wait for doctor's orders. The nurse said, get blood, and I guess nurses don't do that. That comes closer home. The blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus, and the analogies, I'm trying to bring analogies to life, I mean, a physical blood and the spiritual blood. Incidentally, the day that happened in our family, somebody called me, and he won't mind, Brother Andrew. I don't think he's here this morning, but he's one that gives blood regularly, Andrew Weaver, and he said, that's amazing. The same time I got the message that your daughter was blessed with blood was the exact same day that I was coming out of the hospital to give, or wherever he gave blood, And he said, oh, that was kind of neat to make a connection in the mind. So, and I say that to say that whenever you give blood, make the connection. But spiritually speaking, there's never a time where somebody received the merit of the blood of Jesus that Jesus Christ does not have the connection. And I don't care what, if it's sanctification, justification, whether it's just a victory that you face, a cleansing during the day, there's a very personal attachment and connection that Jesus Christ feels. The precious blood, the precious, precious blood of Jesus. Three things quickly about physical blood. I'm stepping out of my bounds. I know there's people that understand medicine far more than I do, and I have the potential to say some things wrong, but if I understand, the first thing about the physical blood, you know, the Old Testament says that life is in the blood. Jesus said, you drink of my blood, you have eternal life. The first point, life is in the blood. And it would be kind of interesting to have somebody come up here and we put a tourniquet on their arm and just cut off all blood flow. And you know eventually what's going to happen. Eventually, it'll probably start with just uncomfort in their muscles beyond that where you're cutting off the blood flow. Because it is so important that blood travels not only from your heart to your organs and so on, but every single extremity that you have is dependent on the oxygen and the nutrients that the blood brings. And then in return, it takes the toxins and disposes of them. It's incredible what's going on as your heart pumps the blood through your system. Incredible. So the life is in the blood. The second thing about blood, it really is a cleansing agent. And you know, I didn't really think of blood as a cleansing agent. You know, I remember too many blood stains on carpet. You know, I have a tendency the knife blade would somehow connect where it shouldn't connect, and it always happens when you're working with white carpet. Maybe you cut yourself and yeah, it just happened you had a white shirt on. Try getting blood off, and some of us know what it's like to try to clean blood stains off. But really, blood is as a cleansing agent, physically speaking. You cut yourself, the best thing that can happen is it bleeds, and the blood cleans out the cut. And it's just incredible what all is in your blood and how we're made. And the same way, spiritually speaking, the blood, sin is a toxin. Sin is a toxin. And it is without the cleansing of the blood of Jesus, it's just like wrapping your arm tight and cutting off the blood flow. And there are some of us that have things in our lives that cut the blood flow off. And outward we look so good. Outwardly you can look so good, but if the blood isn't going everywhere in your life, there's a toxin that is eventually going to zap. You know, and it could take, just like you could die from it physically, the same way in the spiritual life. We need to be a people that are walking in the light, having koinonia. Fellowship. And then the cleansing according to the scriptures. The third and last point about physical blood is overcoming. And this is where I'm really out of my comfort zone. There's overcoming power in physical blood. Now, blood gives life, I can kind of get that. Cleans, I cut myself enough to get that. perhaps the greatest marvel is how it fights invaders. I mean, the components of our blood is very incredible. And I got just a tiny bit of an education because of being at the hospital and hearing doctors explain the situation to gray platelet syndrome, which two of our children have. But, you know, there's platelets, there's factor seven, all things that you can add to your blood or whatever. But I guess blood 101 would be there's white cells, red cells, lymph nodes, and again, I can't explain all of that, but I think I know this much, that everything in your blood is there to defend your body against the invasion of disease. So your blood is able to do that. Your blood is able to defend your physical body from invasions that want to come in through viruses and germs and what have you. And your blood is able to completely eliminate it, destroy it. So a new virus comes and enters your body. This is pretty amazing. So your blood is working together and developing a strategy to overcome this invader. And sometimes there's a little bit of a time lapse. Sometimes it takes your body some time. And there have been diseases in the history, human history, that have just wiped out huge portions of population. And you can read about some of those epidemics. And the reason is that would come in and there wouldn't be enough of time that the body had to fight it off because it was so powerful. So God gave wisdom to man, and they came up with this thing called, when it comes to this time lapse thing, show me somebody that has a strong immune system. And guess what? The slim chance for that invader, very slim. Strong immune system, makes sense. There are people that, you know, you battle with sickness, your immune system is down, invader comes in, and you are so much more prone to fall to this invasion. So God gave wisdom to mankind with this thing. I think it was after the smallpox epidemic. So God gives wisdom to give your body just a tiny, tiny dose of that virus. So what your body is doing is quickly come, your body, that's not right. So this is all going on while we're at work. And your blood is working together. It's got a strategy to fight off that particular disease or invasion. And it builds up. So it comes in. You got a stronger immune system to fight that off. That's pretty marvelous to me. So that's probably things that you'd learn in maybe not even medical school. Medical school, you're probably beyond that, but that's just the real basics of blood. But now what about spiritual? How do you make a spiritual application? It says in Revelation 12 that the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceives the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven, "Now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives to the death." So, if I can make a spiritual analogy, you show me a person that has the blood of Jesus transfused into them, that's by faith, you believe it, You accept, you understand what Christ has done on the cross. You have repented of your sins, turned to him and said, Jesus Christ, your blood, I'm trusting in it. And I don't know how it works, but there's some kind of a transfusion that happens that flows through you. So the invader comes in, namely Satan and his angels that were cast out. The invader comes in with a plan and an attack and a strategy. There's three things, just like our blood works together and comes up with a plan. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. That means you show me a person that has the blood of Jesus in them, and they're talking about it. You know by their lives, it's not just a hidden Christian somewhere. They've got a testimony for Jesus Christ. And then they're living a life of self-denial, and they love not their lives unto the death. They'd be willing to die for this cause. You show me that kind of a man, you show me that kind of a woman, I'll show you a person that the invader comes, it's the strongest immunization system that's available, and it's ours. It is ours. And it's because of the blood of Jesus. The precious blood of Jesus. And it's not just because there's a blood bank somewhere for Jesus. I mean, from Jesus. We have the word of our testimony. We have our self-life dealt with. We are walking in the light. And as we do that, we have the precious blood of Jesus Christ flowing through us. Could we sing one verse? And I don't care if this is sang five more times this morning. But one verse of what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Particularly pay attention to the refrain. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Maybe I'll pray, and then as I go down, Lester comes up. Lee, if you could sing, just lead us in one verse. God, thank you so much for the precious blood of Jesus. Make it meaningful to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.